can't believe it's so
the
wrong.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Cranks till the thing won't crank. That muddy river, it was rolling. We didn't care where it was going. We had it made, we didn't know it. We were young, dumb, and so full.
Every time Luba comes in studio, he's got some new country music for you to play, doesn't he, Marco?
Oh, yeah, he comes in ready with a couple of songs.
Who we got here?
Gosh, a little Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt's been around a while. Former Chiefs practice squad
guy. Chiefs practice squad guy. All right. Yeah. Water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge. He opened for Chesney a few years ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did you go to Chesney this weekend?
We did not.
Did you have any interest?
No.
No?
Yes.
Why didn't you have any interest, Emily?
No, I'm not a huge country person anyway, which makes no sense why the Bluma and I are together, but I have no desire to go stand
from
in a stadium
Monroe
and sweat.
City, you are not a country fan.
It happens. It happens. We're not all bred the same.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've always felt like a big outcast in Ark City because I didn't, I was not a big country fan.
But you went
down there. I did go to Chesney. Yeah. Yeah, because boy, this is gonna sound really, really corny, and I can see the eye rolls from people driving down the car. Seeing my wife that happy is one of the best things in the world.
There you go.
She loves a good country concert, and when we first started dating, even though I wasn't a big country fan myself, I was a big Kelly Howell fan, and her friends and her love to go to country concerts. So I was, oh, yeah, I like country music. Yeah, I'll go to that. So we went to a ton of concerts back in the day before we had kids, and we don't make it out that often anymore to shows. And it was really fun, and it brought back a lot of memories. And it was a great show. He's fun. I mean, I like anybody that seems to thoroughly be enjoying what they're doing. And he seems like he's having a blast on stage.
I say you that know? About a couple, like Keith Urban. That's how I feel every time I go see Keith Urban. Like, man, I think that guy's having more fun than I am.
Right.
Like,
that's
awesome. And you don't realize how many songs Kenny has.
Oh, man. Like, and somebody like me that doesn't listen to a ton of country, I know at least the refrain to almost every song he plays.
Plus,
right?
We've been spoiled. Like, I've gotten to go to that a few times. And then when Eric Church opened for him.
Yeah, I was
four
at that
or five
one.
Years.
I
well,
was at that
we,
one.
I lucked out because we had an alumni batting practice deal that morning across the street. And then Trevor Vance and Kent Williams were like, hey, Bloom, stick around. And got a little, I need you to throw a little extra BP today. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I'll shower. Got to throw BP to Eric Church and his whole band. So that was awesome. So that was somewhat maybe in the works this past week, but we couldn't lock down. I saw Kenny ended up going to work out with some Chiefs guys, or I heard rumors of. He always does something.
Yeah.
He's a big sports fan, so.
Yeah, well, you know, Boys of Fall, he does that song about football, and he signed it. He brought up a kid at the end of the concert. He brought up a kid on stage and gave him a Chiefs helmet and autographed it for him, and the kid put it on. He gave him a big hug, and that was all fun. There were, like, three opening acts, and from what I was told, they were all really good.
So there's a little local tie, Dan and Shay.
Yeah.
Mike Kennedy. That used to be on Q104 and 106.5 The Wolf. His daughter's married to one of the guys in Dan and Shay.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little local tie to that.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people that. Old Dominion is awesome.
Yeah.
Carly Pierce, who's an up-and-comer. That was the three opening acts. So they had a good lineup for the whole day.
Yeah.
So what time did you get out there?
We didn't.
A lot of tailgating, I heard.
Yeah. We didn't. We went to dinner first, and then there was an issue with the Ticketmaster app on my phone.
Uh-oh.
That demanded that I create is when I went to log in to get my tickets to pop up on my phone. It demanded that I create a new login, and then it wouldn't send me an email that allowed me to create the login. So that, anyways, but the people at customer service were very nice, and they got everything sorted out. We got in, but so it took us a little while. We got in with like maybe two or three songs left of Danny and Shay, so we were we missed most of the opening acts and all that stuff. Dan and Shay. Sorry. Dan and Shay.
Danny.
And we were offered tickets in a suite, and there were a lot of young people in our suite. who had been there for a while and had been enjoying the proceedings. There was vomit around the trash can.
Not
all of it made it into the trash can. In fact, I would say most of it probably didn't make it in the trash can. There were a couple of young couples that my wife and my friends and I were like, yeah, those two are going to be fighting for a few days about this whole thing, you know, because the boyfriend friend was in a tough spot, you know, and the girlfriend was quite frustrated that she was missing out on the concert she really wanted to see because the boyfriend had just, you know, he just got a little too carried away earlier.
Is it four good concerts, it's a people watching festival.
Oh, man, there was a lot of...
Well, it was a warm one, too, so I'm sure there were some...
You know what? Actually, Saturday night was beautiful.
Oh, you know what? It rained a couple times.
It was beautiful, so that... We were outside the whole time. I kept saying, oh, I can't believe how nice it is out here, because it wasn't even hot. I mean, it was that day where all the rain came. Now, yesterday was scorching hot.
Right.
You know, you wanted to be at the pool if you were going to be outside at all yesterday. But, yeah, we saw... We had a young man who was telling us he was headed off for the Marines, and was very interested in showing us how many pull-ups he could do, but there was no place to do pull-ups in the suite, so he decided he was going to use the bar top table and the high top chair to do dips. The table didn't quite hold up to the challenge.
It's a unique experience for you at Chesney.
There was some good people watching, but I had a blast. The concert was fun. It was great. So anyway, so you guys no interest, even though you're not you just don't want to be
done
around.
We've done it together. She's met me out there early
You've
on.
You've been
in
to Kenny before.
Life.
Yes, early when we were dating, yeah. I went to Kenny and we were in a suite. I'm not trying to be all bougie, but you know, we were in a suite. I had a blockade between myself and the people. And
sometimes the suite means you're trapped in there with three of those people.
It was a good group of people. It was an exposure to some of his friends too. And we were on a bus on the way back, and I watched 50-year-old men do a slapping contest on each other's legs. So age doesn't make a difference, apparently.
No, that's the thing. Is somebody's like, I remember my first beer. I was like, let's not pretend that any of us are really immune to this type of behavior.
Right.
We all are susceptible to getting carried away from time to time. So I just feel for the. I feel for those people. So we have Emily in studio here, and we do this. How many years have we been doing this? And how many years have you been doing this, and we've been talking about this?
This is my fifth year, and we were trying to I know that one year I didn't come on, but I don't remember why. I think maybe another big sports story probably came on, and we got
Well, there was one year they didn't have it because the river was flooded.
2019, okay.
So we didn't. Yeah, they didn't have the race until...
So for people that don't know, let's not assume everybody knows what we're talking about. What are we talking about here? I'll let you go, Jamie, first.
So Emily McNeil, my fiance, does a kayak race called the MR 340, which is the Missouri River 340. And I'll let her give all the details. Basically, it's 340 miles from Call Point downtown, where the Kansas and Missouri River meet, all the way to St. Charles and St. Louis. And you have 85 hours to do it. And Emily will kind of tell you a little bit more of the details.
It never takes you close to 85 hours, does it?
It does not. No, I don't want to be in the boat for 85 hours. The motivation all summer is so excited to get in the boat to do this. And then as soon as you get in, I just want to get out of this boat.
Yeah.
So, but you do have 85 hours. You know, we're actually holding our award ceremony when the last boat comes in. And that person gets the most cheer. And that person gets, like, the biggest hurrah. Yeah. There's three kinds of people that do this. Let me back it up and tell you a little bit more about the race.
Yeah.
It is a 340-mile race that goes in the Missouri River. It is now a nonprofit event, so it supports Missouri River Relief, which is that organization that keeps our river clean. They've pulled 1,000 tons of trash out of the river this year. Mm. And then it's got 700 people enlisted this year to take this voyage. According to our race director, only two-thirds will finish. Especially with it being a low water, hot year. And you can participate in this race, and it's sign-ups were a long time ago, so you'll have to look at it next year if this is of interest to you. Canoe, kayak, stand-up paddleboard, dragon boat, pedal drive, which that division is starting to get more and more interesting as people are starting to craft their own boats with pedal drive. Mm. So it's this massive undertaking that starts next Tuesday on the 12th. Solos leave at 7, you know, team everybody else leaves at 8. And then it will go all the way Tuesday morning to Friday evening.
700 participants and basically 450 boats.
Around there, yes. So, and hosted by 150 volunteers. So these are all the little river towns that very few people have ever heard of all along. And so it supports those communities. It supports that river life all the way across. But it's a race. It's a bucket list item. It's just that thing that maybe it's your thing every year, but it's awesome. And the community around it, they're great. The people are great. Race director's great. You know, I want to say all these wonderful things. There's also the gritty, gnarly, you know, gross part of it too. But this is our thing, you know.
How did you, I don't know if we've talked about this. How did you get involved with this in the first place? How did you come across this?
Well, I knew about it. So it started in 2006, and I remember it happening because I was like, who is getting in that river?
For that long.
You know, I didn't really understand it in its whole, but I knew about it back early. And then
15 boats that first year?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Just 15.
It's up to 700 now.
Now it's 700 participants. Yes. Wow. And hard to get in. Some classes close. Like it's capped out.
What year did you say it started?
2006.
Okay. And it's gone from 15 boats to 700.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So you heard about it then?
I knew about it then. And then a buddy of mine who's just a very convincing person, salesman of the year, knew that I did like a 17-mile open water kayak in like the Nepali coast in Hawaii. And he's like, you should do this. And he just kept pushing me. So in 2017... that was my first year. I signed up in 2016, and I participated in 2017 in a 55-pound roto mold boat. It was this giant boat that I couldn't even load myself.
It's heavy.
And I got the bug, you know, and I was like, I want to go faster. I want to do this more. So then I sold that boat and got a faster racing boat, which is now 34 pounds. And then from there, I did solo women in 2018, and then I ended up getting a tandem boat. You know, it's like the investment of like, yeah. Well, let me do it a little different. So I ran tandem women's in 2020. 2019 was the flood year. 2020 ran tandem women. Last year
with her partner, Candy Hill.
And thank you. And went and did mixed tandem last year with my partner, Daryl Simon, who Bluma likes to call Deepwater Daryl.
And we talked about him last year because I called him Daryl Miller, which was completely inaccurate.
It's not
and
his
we
name.
Just started calling him Deepwater Daryl, which he loves that now.
So Daryl and I had a good race last year, but there's a little bit of controversy with our class specifically. So we just had a talk after. I'm like, let's do this again. Let's do it one more time so that we have the results with no asterisks on them of people doing other teams doing the wrong thing and getting penalized. So let's do it again. So we'll do it again this year. And we've trained, I've learned more. We'll see how I do.
Yeah. So you and Daryl going again this time.
Mm-hmm.
Same boat as last time?
Same boat.
Okay. And that's the little yellow boat in the big brown river?
Originally the boat that she talked about was the first boat that she had bought that was a tank. And then she started a Facebook page more so for her family to be able to follow what's going on. So the big yellow boat in the big brown river is the Facebook group. And it's morphed into, that boat is long gone.
Yeah.
This is boat number, this is Daryl's boat.
Okay.
And it's a OC2.
Correct.
So it's a tandem, different than her tandem boat where it's a surf ski or a, I don't know. All the
is it technically a kayak? Is that what this boat is called?
100%.
It's technically a canoe. It's an ocean, but it's not shaped like that. It's 17 inches wide, and it has, outrigger. So it's got a little arm that keeps us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not a small girl. I personally am not 17 inches wide. So it's, and there's a lot of us out there. We're in skinny, skinny boats. We're sitting on top of them, and the only thing keeping us up is this outrigger. But most people are in kayaks, sit-in kayaks. There are people out there in the Walmart canoe, in the canoe they bought at Costco.
They have a short boat.
Yeah, a short boat class, but and no rudder. Like I couldn't imagine that they have their own trophy. Like them and the stand-up paddle boarders.
I can't imagine doing the stand-up. You got to stand
that's
up the whole way.
You can get down on your knees and do it. I mean, you have to be on that paddle board the whole time.
And they come, you know, Lauren Rodriguez is a friend of ours. She set the record last year, comes in, legs swollen, massive blisters on the bottom of her feet. and she signed up again. She's back out there this year.
If anybody is interested in this race and wants a boat, be in St. Charles, Missouri on Friday, because boats will never be cheaper.
They may smell
looking,
a little.
People looking to get rid of those things?
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see that boat
signs,
again.
There's for sale signs all over the...
I'll pay you to take it away.
100%.
Yeah, all right. So go to St. Charles, and then you're you got a chance to win it. And so, like, now some people... If you got 80-plus hours, some people will pull their boats over and get some sleep overnight and all that.
Correct, correct. Yeah, there's checkpoints. There's five checkpoints along the way where you have to be gone by a certain time. So your first checkpoint, that's where you might have your most, or the Reaper comes up on you, and that's a boat specifically that is that tail line. And if you don't make it there, then you're done. And some people don't, and it's but they still have this amazing day one to do it. That's 65 miles and 75. And then you go along, and you can either be reaped or you may take the moment to sleep because you start to bank time of what allows you to do. Yeah. So the common person, I think they go maybe less than halfway across the state and they sleep and get 6 hours and they have breakfast and they may sleep two or three times throughout.
Well, it gets a little tricky too from a ground crew standpoint because some of the stops where you're going to go try to sleep. There's a train tracks run right through that, so if you're trying to get a thing and then you're in, say Herman, like the train runs right through 100 yards from the river in Herman.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get a nap in Herman at any point, good luck with that because the Amtrak runs right through there too, not just your random, Union Pacific trains or whatever. So it's so different. And then there's Boy Scout troops and little organizations from all these little towns selling hot dogs and hamburgers or homemade pulled pork sandwiches or apples and oranges. And it's just a really, really cool. I mean, I've tried to encourage people. The first year as grounds crew, I thought, man, I'm going to have a couple beers along the way. Maybe no chance. Because I don't sleep much either. I'm not paddling, but I got to follow along and try to figure it out. And it gets a little gnarly in the middle of the night two, driving from one little town to another little town in the dark. I swear I've seen Bigfoot a couple times just from lack of sleep.
Are you guys able to communicate with each other, like on a cell phone or anything like that? Or
my first year I did. I would call him and just talk to him, but I was also pretty bored my first year. Yeah. And I had my setup was different where I could actually do stuff. Now I'm kind of more in the racing category where my phone's running a navigation program, so I stay in the channel. And no, don't I'm not talking to anybody.
If she calls me, that something's going on.
Yeah, something's wrong if you get a call from
So then you just go to the next stop and then wait till you see her?
Whoop, and yell and scream when they go by.
See if she needs anything.
And it's the funny thing because there's so many people along the route that are clapping and cheering for you. Well, sometimes I don't want that because if she does need something, she's got to yell it across the river and I kind of got to hear what's going on just in case. And one thing we've done a few times that works out pretty well is I can get a 2 gallon or 2.5 gallon Ziploc bag. And whatever I need or she needs, I can put it in there with air around it, and I could chuck it a pretty good distance out into the river, and she can scoop it up.
Yeah.
I'll give her enough lead time, and I'll throw it out in front of the boat, and that way you don't have to stop. I mean, you have to stop paddling for a second to grab whatever you need.
Yeah,
but that's a pretty fun trick, and we're not the only one that uses that. Some people have bags that are tethered to a line, and they grab their stuff, and then they're done. Pull the line back in. But a lot of that goes on at the front of the race. And the irony of winning this race or being in the top three, once you get there, there's nobody at the finish line but your grounds crew. It's middle of the night. It's dark. And there's no real fanfare of anybody. I thought about trying to hire some people to be cheerleaders, to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe a high school band, for the people that had to finish in 30, 33 hours to 45 hours because it's –
I don't know how that conversation would go. I need you on call between midnight and 6 a.m. on Thursday morning.
I got to figure out a way to just keep – if I feed them or give them beers, I think you can get people to do
incentivize it somehow.
Right, exactly.
So. But that's like – anytime you're in some sort of competition like this, you're doing this for yourself.
There's no prize
there's no purse.
I mean,
now, there are races down in the southern states that there are purses attached to them. But no, this one
have
has
you ever
no
done
purse.
Any of those?
No, I've had my eyes on them, but I've had my eyes on about every race. So this is
You think you'll do one anytime soon? See, have your eyes on them. How seriously are your eyes?
She does
on
another
them?
One in Chattanooga called Chattajack.
She'll, also, no purse.
No prize money.
I don't know. It's not about the money. And it's not like I would ever get my money back. I would have to be heavily sponsored to actually make my money back.
Well, here's I didn't even mean for the money. I just mean like to go try a different race, you know, or something like that.
And I've talked about this before, and I'm pretty sure. Well, he signed up. But former Royal Kevin Apier has signed up to do it again this year.
Oh, yeah?
And this is at least five times I think he's done this. So it's always good to see him. We'll see if I can't find him before the race gets going.
That seems very on brand.
100%.
You know, for him to try. Oh, yep. I want to try that, you know?
Yep. He's a lone wolf. So
he's
He's
good.
He does. He has some good times. He's sub 50 for sure. I'll have to look up sometime what his best time is.
He goes solo on his.
He's solo, yeah, which is no surprise.
Yeah, right.
Again, he doesn't like one other person enough to spend that much time with him ever in his entire life.
Do you have any interest in doing one of these paddle boat things or you know, a different style than?
Yes, yeah. I would like to do every class. Like, I'm kind of would like to do the except stand-up paddleboard. I find that.
You're not interested in that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So this may, and I'm not making this declaration, but this may be my last year as just a tandem, and I'll probably go, like, start looking at maybe team. And then 1 year I'll do it as a dragon boat, you know, with a big group of people. I think that would be fun.
Okay.
And then I'll probably do it leisurely 1 year where I stop at Glasgow and I sleep for 6 hours and I have breakfast and then we go.
Just take it in, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, just enjoy it and kind of be in the bubble of the racers. And Bluma would love that because he loves people.
I've seen a couple boats that are like two giant pontoons with two like lawn chairs with the pedal thing. They look great at the beginning of the race, but then they fall apart.
Yeah, they don't
before
make
the first checkpoint. But man, if I could sit in a chair like this and pedal, and I would do that and try to do it in less than 85 hours and get some sleep and have some cocktails. And,
yeah,
I'm in for that part of it.
So I had this picture in my head when you talk about like starting with 15 boats. You're pretty much just you go and you're probably not going to see many other people, I guess, you know, on the river while you're going. Now that it's 700, I remember like
700 people, 450 boats.
Okay, so 450 boats. I remember like so I did a couple of triathlons back in the day, and I'm a terrible swimmer. And I remember people telling me you get in that lake right off the bat, and it's a different kind of swimming when you're getting kicked in the head, and people are hitting you on accident, and everybody's kind of climbing over, and it's kind of a free for all in the water until there becomes a little separation in there. So like, I'm just gonna start at the back,
right,
now because I'm gonna be going slower than everybody anyway, and I don't want to get kicked and punched in the head while I'm trying to swim. Is it craziness when it starts? Are there 450 boats jockeying for position and banging into each other? Or how does it, what's the start like with this many boats?
Well, it's in the cost. The cost not super wide. And we're split into two, solo and then the teams. Yes, in the beginning, you know, because there's just enough of a current for everybody to get out there to stage. It takes an hour plus to stage. Like when the gun goes off, there's still people getting in the water.
Okay.
But you have 340 miles. Like, is the start really that super important? So, yeah, it's a mess. It's a washing machine out there. You've got people running over other people. Like, I'm very vocal. And last year was the first time Daryl has ever started with me in the cause. So I'm very much like, I'm coming up on you. Like, I'm charging out of there. But I've also
get the F out of the way.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, canoe, I'm coming up. I'm sure they're already, you know, these people are nervous. And then now you've got this random girl yelling at you. So I am that girl. And I'm sorry. I apologize to all the paddlers out there. But I want to get out because when you hit the confluence, it can do many things because the force of the water from the Missouri is
yeah. Those little eddies in the confluence there. So I remember that.
I mean, there's been
so in years past when there's been a ton of rain before the race and the Missouri River is like super close to flood stage, kind of what you want as a racer because that is going to help your time, but that just means the difference between the flow in the Kansas River and the flow in the Missouri River is way different. And so that entry at the beginning is treacherous. Not going too far because
the most winning solo woman, Robin Benincasa, who's a sponsored woman, she's an amazing paddler. She's dumped out there, and you dump. Now you've got 200 boats coming up on you, and you're dumped and upside down.
And now you're soaking wet to start the race.
Yeah, and you just like right out of the gate. So the stories are out there. I personally have not dumped. I need to, you know, knock on something. I haven't gone swimming in the Missouri River yet. But I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
As long as you keep doing it. All right. So, And by the way, you took a little trip, a little backpacking trip.
I did.
Since last time I saw you. Tell me about that before we take a break.
I did. I've been itching to do the Pacific Crest Trail for years and years, and most people know that from the movie Wild, from Reese Witherspoon's movie. That's the trail that she did in California. It goes from Mexico border all the way up to Canada, over 2,600 miles. So I've decided that I will start section hiking it. I don't have the 4 to 5 months to dedicate it to it
right.
at this time.
Right.
And so I started, May 21st, I started down there in the desert and just put 5 days in and got 75 miles of beautiful desert until the end when it was 111 degrees and I had zero water and I was
ready to hitchhike
into town.
Okay.
And then, I made it kind of a promise to my family and my future husband, like, I'll not do anything that's not safe. So that was the moment that I was like, this might be pushing it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So you got 75 miles this year. You're going to go back someday and try to keep doing it?
I will.
75 mile stretches
at a
time.
75 isn't much of the 2,600 plus, but I'm going to section hike it. So I am going to bump up next year to Kennedy Meadows. So that's Yosemite and this beautiful area. And I'm going to adjust my time a little bit. There are some things I learned. There's things you learn every time you have a DNF, and that wasn't a DNF. That was just a removing myself from a situation. So I'll start just a little bit later and do the pretty parts. And then if someday comes that I'm like, okay, my last, 300 miles are in the desert, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to do that. I was telling him the other day, I was like, wouldn't it be great if I did like the whole Pacific Crest Trail and then went up for the Yukon 1000 kayak race. And like, that would be this awesome year. But it's also sounds really stupid.
I don't know. It's just what you can pull off, while trying to balance your life at the same time.
Right,
I mean, pay bills and deal with all the realities.
I actually had a buddy, Rick, you guys know Rick Sutcliffe, baseball guy. His brother, Bobby Sutcliffe, I went to Japan with a few years ago with the Wounded Warrior Amputee softball team. And actually, during COVID, he did the entire Pacific Crest Trail.
Wow.
So he took, 5 months. And it was just kind of cool to watch a journey hike and heal. And he looked like Forrest Gump by the end of it with a beard and the whole thing. And that's an amazing deal. If you do the whole route, good God, 2,660 miles.
Pretty incredible stuff. All right, real quick, Emily, before we take a break, we are going to talk some Royals baseball with Bloom in the next segment. And we're putting it off because, there was another depressing loss last night.
There are some silver linings.
We'll talk about those. So one more time, the MR340 starts next week. Tell us the details, and is there any way that people can support it or watch it or whatever that they need to know about?
Yes. Well, to watch it, you would have to hop along the river. And we welcome you to do that. There's plenty of spots. La Bonita over off 291 in the river. Like, that's a great vantage point. So it starts 7 and 8 a.m., depending on your team. Out of Call Point. We welcome you to come down to Call Point, but it is chaos that day. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to find parking. Those are for the racers. And it is the 340 miles all the way across. If you want to watch my team specifically, and we share other people, it's Big Yellow Boat in the Big Brown River. And that's a Facebook page. You do have to be accepted to come in. And then other than that, you can watch the River Relief page or the MR340 page. And it's called Race Al. And so you can follow specific teams going across.
So rivermiles.com is actually the website.
And you can
go there and contribute. There's some stuff that talks. Right when you go to the website, it talks American Missouri River.
Okay.
MR340. So it gives
you a
little bit
of information. What's the name of that website
again? Rivermiles.com.
Rivermiles.com. Well, Emily, good luck.
Thank you. I
hope that the race goes wonderfully for you guys, and I hope you get that win. Controversy-free and all that you're looking for. But no matter what, congratulations on doing something that most people will probably never do.
I
will admit, it's one of those things where I'm like, that seems like that would be a cool thing to say that I did. I don't know that I'll ever be at that point where I'll get to do it, but it's pretty
cool.
You
could
broadcast from the boat, you can do anything anymore.
I can't remember from years past because obviously it's Tuesday morning right now. So I will have just watched next Tuesday all the solo boats go off at 7 o'clock. It's going to be hard for me to be. And I think.
You did it one year.
You guys, I called in. I think I was on my way from there to La Bonita from the start. So we'll figure it out next week and see if I can't buzz
have
in the
you
show
on the phone
and
or
say,
something.
Yeah, something yeah. like that.
And right. and Channel 9 is doing a 1-hour documentary on the race
oh,
this
cool.
year. Now they were out at Shawnee.
When's
Michigan,
that gonna? Like, when can we see that?
I don't know that okay. answer.
We'll find out. We'll
but,
get some details.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were talking last week about how they can, you know, put cameras in boats on et cetera. So they're figuring yeah. out the logistics of how to cover the person that ends in 35 hours and the person that yeah. ends in 85 hours. That's yeah. a heck of a feat just for them. So.
Well, and I'll say this too, for anybody that's interested in anything kayak race type thing, every Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Shawnee Mission Lake, Shawnee Mission Park, they have a 5K, and you'll see those 12-foot Walmart boats all the way to the Riverhawk fast tandems and all that kind of stuff, and you can kind of come check it out. There's usually 30 to 50 boats do the little 5K every Wednesday night. So if you're interested in kind of checking out, you know, how to get into the whole thing, that's a perfect opportunity to not only watch a race, but, you know, converse with people that are in the kayak world. And it's just a pretty awesome community.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk some baseball with Jamie Bluma right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Need a soundtrack to a cold beer. That's why dive bars have a band. Lick ciders need a six string with a beach vibe.
Okay, we got Jamie Blumen in studio. We put on talking about the Royals long enough.
All right, hold on. Chris Young and Old Dominion right here. Okay. Everybody needs a song. Right. Everybody needs a song. Your wife will love this song.
I'm sure she knows it.
Anything that says cold beer within the first stanza of the song is good.
Cold beers. There's some boy, the cold beers were flowing on Saturday night,
cold
buddy.
Cold beers are flowing all weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so you said, hey, there's some silver linings, and that's true. And I think that,
that's just for me, not for most fans.
Well, there were some silver linings. There was some good. The Royals won a series in Detroit
correct.
Over and the weekend. You know, got a good performance from Brady Singer. And then yesterday, even, Heasley pitched well against a really good team. MJ Melendez hits a couple home runs. Benintendi has a good day at the plate. He's still got to be increasing his trade value. There are silver linings, and that's kind of what we're left to look for right now.
Have to. You know, that's where we're at in this season. I mean, we're 20 games below 500, so mm-hmm. you're going to have to start picking and choosing the things to look at to keep us positive and to talk about on this show for the rest of the season. So disappointed just in the bullpen in general. I mean, Garrett was one of our bigger trades of the offseason, getting rid of Minor and picking up Garrett. I mean, I've liked him and liked his stuff, you know, watching him in Cincinnati. I had heard about him because he was a legit college basketball player too back in the day. So kind of just disappointed. And I heard you talking this morning, and I hadn't, this whole weekend I hadn't really bared down on things going on Royals wise, but he's using an independent pitching guy. I'm going to look that up later on, but I heard you mention it this morning when we were on our way in. I mean, if that is going on, you almost don't want that to be public. Cause that doesn't just look great overall. So those things like that are a little bit disappointing.
Okay. So just to kind of go back to what you're saying there to, I didn't say too much about it because I don't have a take on it because I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't asked anybody about this one in specific. So I don't really know how to feel about it. This was a tweet that was sent out by Codify, which has a blue check mark, which means it's real. The Codify bio on Twitter says, dozens of MLB pitchers have trusted Codify's personalized game planning for greater pitching success. Send a DM to learn how to join the team today. So they use charts to help with game plans. That's what apparently they do. The tweet that I saw, this was back on June 29th, that said, excited to start working with Amir Garrett. Have been a fan of his work and really enjoyed his interviews with @PitchingNinja. And now we'll be helping him learn where best to use those sliders and fastballs to attack hitters in what are truly their weak spots. So it's game plan stuff that they're helping him with. You click on this Codify. You can go to their website, and they have they got all kinds of pitchers from every team in the league that they must claim as like Ian Kennedy, by the way, is on here. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, as soon as I saw the tweet, I saw the comments were from Royals fans saying, "Why are you just helping this one guy from the Royals? Why can't you help our whole staff?" You know, right. Well, everybody needs, all that kind of smart aleck stuff that you would see. And then people saying, well, of course, he's got to go outside the organization to get help because he's not getting it inside the organization. The reason I don't have a take on it is because, and you live in this world, Bluma, the guys have their own pitching coaches now. They have their own programs that they use. These kids that are coming out of high school that can throw 100 miles an hour, they sign up with organizations that help teach them how to maximize their velocity and all these things. And Major League Baseball organizations have to find a way to work with their, right? Like with,
sure,
their,
100%.
With their group and all that stuff. So I don't know if this is what this means, really.
And I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into it, maybe talk about it next week or the week after. But the thing that'll never change with any of us in any is, we are all players, only a product of all the people that have come in contact with us from a coaching standpoint.
Right.
And you pick and choose, and you take the things that you learn from any of those specific coaches and try to plug it in and create what makes you the most successful. And the organizations that have been able to tap into all the different things and put those puzzle pieces together a little bit with all the new metrics and all the, spin rates and all that data that we have now, that's the teams that are excelling and doing a good job with pitching. Every single team is striving toward that direction, and the Royals included. And when you as an individual player, and I've said this all year, I mean, you can bash the pitching coach deal. We only need pitching coaches when we're not pitching good. I mean, nobody needs a pitching coach when you're throwing the crap out of it. You just go out there and keep doing what you're doing. It's being able to figure out all those little nuances and those little changes you need to make, whether that's from pitch selection, your game plan, a mechanical adjustment. I mean, it is so different now that there's so many little different pieces and parts to that than there were 25 years ago. And the organizations and the development staffs that are doing the best job to a man individually, because every guy is different. I mean, whether it's Barlow or whether it's Amir Garrett or whether it's Jackson Kowar or Brady Singer going down to AAA, I mean, everybody's kind of got to be on the same page. And that's what I've said a little bit more this year than anything is we took such a deep dive as an organization into what we do offensively and have completely changed that process throughout the organization. And you're starting to see some of the fruits of that labor with Pasquantino and MJ Melendez and Prado and those guys' crazy good offensive years after everybody a couple years ago just falling flat on their face and in Wilmington. And we wondered if those guys would be prospects anymore. And the overall wholesale changes they made in the organization from an offensive standpoint, I think there's got to be some talk about doing some of those same things from a pitching standpoint just to maximize, because we've got a great stable of young arms. There's no doubt about that. And let's see what we can do to help develop those guys. And not only the guys that we drafted and are trying to, nurture their way to the major leagues, but guys we get from other organizations. Let us be that organization that gets a guy and helps him get better while he's here, a la Jake Junis going to San Francisco. I want us to be that organization selfishly from a pitching standpoint because there's only, and I've said this ad nauseum, there's only so many organizations that do a really, really good job of that. Five or six, four or five, the Rays, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Brewers, the Braves. I mean, there's not a ton. We need to do everything in our power moving forward to do that. And when you start hearing whispers of, man, our organization's not getting it done, I got to go. Man, everybody's trying to figure out the best, process to get the most out of all of our guys.
Yeah, so, look, I don't know when this organization's work with Amir Garrett actually started. That was back on the 28th when they tweeted that out. If they are already working with him, the early returns weren't great. And that's one of the issues. So they're working with, okay, when is the right time and where to throw these pitches? Well, the Royals walked six guys again yesterday. No. You know, and it's the bullpen has a lead. Mills comes in and he walks two guys. He gives up two runs.
Well, and five of those were seven, eight, nine innings. So bullpen walked five.
Yeah.
Guys are going to get their hits. You can't compound the problem. You know the term walks will haunt. And we've been so spoiled with 14, 15, with the bullpen that we had with all those guys. And Dayton and JJ have obviously proved that they can put a bullpen together in years past. When the bullpen's struggling, that's even makes it doubly frustrating because we've seen what a great bullpen can do. And we've had some guys that have started off pretty decent and then have you know, resort back to the mean and just are kind of struggling right now. And I mean, even Barlow. I mean, and here's my silver lining from the game last night. Obviously, I'm a Ryan Stanek fan from him being a former student. Mm-hmm. Paying attention to see he comes in and throws a scoreless ninth. And then they hit a walk-off, so Stanek ends up getting a win. So congratulations, Ryan Stanek. So that's my silver lining from last night because I have a dog in the fight with him getting a win against the – that's what I always hope to happen, even when he was the opener and all that. But let's have it be a 1-0 game, Royals win, and Stanek doesn't give up any runs.
Always happy to see a hometown kid do well. But, Jamie, that is much more of a silver lining for you.
not only for me.
Yeah, that's not really for the Royals fans out there. I mentioned Brady Singer over the weekend, and that's another one where it's like, okay, so the Royals win the game, he pitches. He strikes out 9, which is great, but he only goes 4 2/3 innings because he – you know, he's got 3 walks and 9 strikeouts. And
so I was actually listening to that game on the radio and it heard, man, he's just tied a career high and he's going into the 5th inning. And then the wheels just fell off the cart. Well, that's part of the maturation process is trying to avoid those crooked number in big innings and put that many guys on base and all that. I mean, that's a mindset when you're out there. And you can put all the game plan you want together, but it's a feel of in the game, you know, whatever you're feeling in the game, you got to be able to change it up, change speeds, change pitches, change locations, and having the ability to do that and try to stay out of those big innings. Because that happened again last night with Heasley a little bit. Man, he was cruising and then ran into a high pitch count, and then he had to get out of there. Same with Bubich the other night. Bubich was cruising pretty good through. Man, it's like once we get to the 5th inning, it's like, man, we take a deep – we exhale – and we don't keep that intensity up. That's another issue, and I know Bod has more of an issue with that than I do just from his background of, man, he give him the ball. He wanted to finish the game. It's like we get to 5 innings, I think guys are happy, you know, instead of grinding it out that 3rd at-bat, you're going to face guys and really bear down and change the way you're doing things and get a guy out in a 3rd different way. It's like we get to 5 innings or even 4-plus. All right, we've done our job, and this is a little bit what's happened to our bullpen is our bullpen's pretty taxed. Not only the guys that we have up, but we've been sending guys up and bringing guys. We're going through a ton of guys and go through a ton of innings. I would say we're probably in the top 5 on the low end of how many innings our bullpen's thrown versus the rest of the league.
Yeah, but it is a league-wide phenomenon. We talked about it with Tom Glavine about the fact that if you tell guys, we go to what Emily's going to do, you know, you're not supposed to go 340 miles in a boat. If you tell people you can't do it, then their body's going to – if you say, like, look, you really can only go about 180 miles in a boat, and you condition for that, well, then you're going to be right. Your body won't be conditioned for it. If you decide to push your body to the limits there and train for it and everything and say, no, I actually think I can go 340 miles, well, you know, how many people finish the race again? 2/3?
2/3.
So there's a 1/3 of people that still can't do it. Like, it's true. You can't do it, you know? But then there's also that other group of people that because they train their body for it, they're able to do it. And so right now it's – you can't get through the batting order a 3rd time because the numbers show that everybody gets worse when they face somebody the 3rd time. Well, if you take that approach with everybody – then there's not going to be that group of guys that because there were those groups of guys back in the day that it was like, boy, if you don't get them in the 1st inning.
Tom Glavine was one of those guys. Yeah. I was listening to your guys' interview the other day, and I remember that about Tom Glavine. Like, Tom Glavine notoriously had trouble in the 1st inning.
Yeah.
But then after that, good luck.
Right.
You know, and so it was ironic that you guys – I thoroughly enjoyed that interview because you could go back. I mean, if you want a little glimmer of hope with some of our young pitching, is go look at Tom's first couple years – when he led the league in walks and had a ton of losses. Yeah. And that Braves team wasn't very good, and he took a beating a little bit, but he learned how to pitch. And he ended up turning himself into a Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not saying our young stable of guys are going to turn out to be Tom Glavine, but the Greg Maddoxes and the Tom Glavines of the world didn't immediately have success at the major league level, like right out of the gate.
And that's where, and I tried to ask Tom this, and you know, it's tough because he gave the answer. It's probably the truth, which is it's a combination. But you go, okay, did Tom Glavine, Greg Maddox, and John Smoltz become great because they had this great coaching that helped them get through those growing pains and develop? Or did they become great because they're great, you know,
and
they were
going
to make, they were going to figure it out, and they were going to make themselves great by learning and adjusting. And that's exactly what he said. It was a little bit of both.
Sure.
Because so the question is right now is like, okay, we're getting the part where these guys are getting their chance, right? We're getting to the part where they're taking their beating and they're making a lot of mistakes and they're not getting deep into games and they're walking too many guys and all this stuff. Is the other part going to happen, you know? Or, because not everybody goes through those beatings and then gets good.
Right.
You know? And so do they have the right, do they have the right approach? I know we, and I asked J.J. Piccolo that point blank, and he said our processes are fine. We have the right processes in place. Okay, well, you know, that's your opinion. We'll see. They're not showing it yet.
Right.
You know, they're just not.
And ultimately, this is a results-based business. We say that all the time. You hear Dayton say all the time. So time will tell.
Will they? You know, the struggle I have right now is I don't feel like we're seeing enough signs that they are. But maybe they're coming. And we saw some. Like, hey, Heasley had a good day. Singer didn't get as far as you want, but he did strike out 9. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they develop. You got a busy week coming up, don't you, buddy? Next week, starting
next
on
week,
Tuesday.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, next week. Okay. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, how can people get a hold of you? You got stuff going? What do you got going on this week? Anything?
Well, do you really want to know?
Okay, yeah,
first
sure.
First colonoscopy for me this week. Oh. So I start that process when we're off the show today.
You never had one before?
Nope.
Okay.
Welcome to 50.
Welcome to 50.
You want some advice? I've had a couple.
Sure, yeah.
It's a buddy of mine. It's funny you say that. My best friend from college, Rubens, he's probably going under that procedure now.
You guys came into 68s when I was
We played. We did batting practice together. Yes, he was a high school All-American baseball player from Liberal, Kansas. But anyways, he's getting his first today. He goes, how bad is it going to be? And I said,
he's getting his today?
Yeah, it's probably happening right now. But I told him, it's not the procedure itself, because you're kind of asleep for that.
Correct.
It's the day before.
Which
it's
is today for
yeah,
me.
So I hope you guys have no plans tonight. Don't plan anything.
What is you guys stuff? I am not involved.
Well.
She is involved.
He can do this all on his own today.
You know.
I all of a sudden got real busy.
He might need you a little bit.
So I will be going from here to pick up my prescription from the pharmacy, and we'll start the process. Yeah. So no lessons tonight or tomorrow.
Zero plans.
Don't.
I made the mistake of having plans, and you ain't doing nothing tonight, buddy.
Right.
But sitting on that toilet.
But if you do need lessons, and we are going to do camps, we're going to have a camp coming up. Homefieldkc.com, 913-320-4404. Please get on the website. We've clearly teamed up with Building Champions and us, our partners now. We've got tryouts going on for next year's squad, so that's one of the big things going on right now. Get on there. Check out the website. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm an easy person to get a hold of, but I will be doing lessons starting again on the 18th because I've got that this week, and then I have the kayak race next week.
I want to say this in all seriousness, and then we'll break. I am proud of you for doing it, because for doing your colonoscopy.
Oh.
Because not enough men do the right things to check their health. And I just had a calcium scan last week because my doctor said at my age it was a good thing to do that. So I went and did that. I got to get myself on schedule for colonoscopy too. But all the screenings you can do, nobody wants to get their prostate checked.
Right.
But all those things, keep your if you do those things, you have a better chance to stay healthy and be there for the people that you love And you know, there is something, it's men don't do a good enough job of that. So I'm glad that you're setting a good example.
One of the things that actually came from the pandemic is I was able to drop some weight and get back in shape a little bit and realize that I had not had a full physical since my last year with the Royals. Now, that is an indictment on me. Yeah. So that was 2000.
I think a lot of men are like you.
21 years since I'd had a full. And so Emily was like, all right, we need to do all these different tests, blood work, yada, 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 yada. And so this is the continuation of that process. As most people know now, like if you have to reschedule something, it is months later that you can get in. So this is the original reschedule from one of my busier times in, you know, February, March. And so the day is upon us.
I'm proud of you. Setting a good example, folks. If you're out there, you know, and I look, because they're not fun, you can kind of put it off or just not get around to doing it, and that's the wrong choice.
Right.
So good for you, Jamie Blumlein. Good luck, Emily, coming up next week.
Thank you.
We will take a break. We'll get a weather forecast from Gary Lezak right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
You know, I am great. I'm a little tired from what was a really, really fun and busy holiday weekend. But but it was great. We had a great weekend in our family. So what about you?
My dogs are recovering because, you know, for dogs, yesterday was probably a tough day. I mean, in my neighborhood, it was like boom, 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 constantly. And so I probably only had 2 or 3 hours sleep because it went on for part of the night and I just couldn't fall asleep. But the dogs were like constantly like cuddling and saying scared and stuff. So
yeah. So they're both scared of the fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not petrified like I've had. Like Wendy, the weather dog in the 1990s, she was petrified. She would like shake. These dogs just like they wouldn't go to sleep, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I hope the pooches are okay today, and I hope they're not too stressed out.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much. So we celebrate Independence Day, and now we got an excessive heat warning today, Nate. So temperatures will warm up to about 97 degrees is our forecast high temperature. Remember to have a heat wave. You need 3 consecutive days of 95 degrees or hotter. Yesterday was 93. Today should be day one of that. Now, tomorrow morning at this time, I'm expecting a few showers and thunderstorms from a little weak disturbance that is coming around the heat wave creating machine or what we call the anti-cyclone. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few thunderstorms tomorrow morning. And then if the clouds hang out from those thunderstorms, sometimes they get left over and it keeps you from heating up. But it also increases the humidity. So regardless of how high it gets, the humidity is out of control, and the heat index, how the body reacts to these temperatures, will be about 105 to 110 the next 3 days. And that's why the National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning. So lots of water, non-alcoholic beverages, drink. And don't forget about your pets. Make sure their time is limited outdoors on that blacktop on the streets. If they're walking on that, that could get up to 120, 130 degrees, so it could burn their little paws. So keep that in mind. Get to walk in early and late, and not maybe during the heat of the day. You want a dad joke?
Yes, please.
You need one?
Yeah, I need one.
You know, Tuesday dad jokes are always tough. Okay, here's a couple. I can't believe I got fired from the calendar factory. All I did was take a day off.
Ah.
That's pretty good.
Yep. I'll take that one.
Okay. I used to be addicted to time travel, but that is all in the past now. No? I'm laughing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes one of us.
No, that was a swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. How about the Royals yesterday? 5-0 they led.
Yeah. It was a tough sports weekend on that front. You know, they blew a big lead yesterday, and then on on Sunday night we had like a 45 minute or so. I don't know how long it technically was, but it felt like I think it was about 45 minutes or so. Storm delay at Children's Mercy Park.
Was there lightning?
I don't know. I didn't see any, but
I didn't see any lightning.
It was one of those things where, like, all of a sudden, this big red cell popped up and was there, right. and then it moved on. You know.
So it came. It was very close to producing lightning. So, but that, it's something you have to do. But yeah, and hey, Bloomer's getting his colonoscopy. I agree with you. You all need to check on your health care. Stay on top of it. One way to do that is Pro Partners Healthcare. You can get a physical, you get all checked out, you get that prostate checked. And here he is, Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. You know, most people are frustrated that they can never reach their doctor when they really need them. That never happens at Pro Partners. If you need easy, direct access to a doctor who knows you and is always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at propartnershealthcare.com.
We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.